Welcome to the LarryNFishers.com podcast. I'm Larry Lannon. Jennifer Kale is running for another term as Fishers City Clerk in the May 7th Republican primary election. I spoke with Jennifer Kale during the afternoon of Tuesday, February 19th. I'm at the Hamilton East Library here in Fishers, at the Municipal Complex in Fishers. I'm in the Ignite space, and the Ignite space is for people who are creative, who are artistic. We're recording this in the television studio located, it's called the AV studio here at the Ignite space. I love using this room because the acoustics are so good. And today we're talking with Jennifer Kale. Jennifer Kale is the Fishers City Clerk. She is running for re-election in the May 7th Republican primary election. So, Jennifer, welcome to another podcast. We've had you before on other issues.
Yes, thank you for having me, Larry.
It's good to see you as always. There may be some Fishers residents. I mean, Fishers has been growing even over the last 4 years and going back even further. There may be some people who don't know you.
Right.
So since that is the case, what I'd like you to do is to introduce yourself to those who may not, or reintroduce you and just tell us your story about you for those who do and don't know you. Your chance to talk about yourself.
Okay. Well, I have lived in Fishers since 1983 when I married my husband, George, who is a retired police chief of 38 years. We have two sons. Our eldest son decided to follow in his father's footsteps and is a sergeant on Noblesville Police Department. He's married, and we have two lovely grandchildren. And our youngest son, Jeffrey, he is on the autism spectrum, and he lives at home with us currently. And if you ask him, he's the video game king.
He probably is.
Yes, and he is quite good. I have, since I've moved to Fishers, I always believe in giving back in the community in which I live. For the last 30-plus years, I have volunteered with numerous organizations in Hamilton County and Fishers. Some of them are the Hamilton County Fraternal Order Police, Habitat for Humanity, Good Samaritan. I was in scouting for 10 years, and I'm most well-known for the 29 years of service, 25 of those years as executive director for the Fishers Freedom Festival. I'm very community-focused. I'm very experienced in what I do, and I'm very dedicated to the job as well as to my community.
Well, I want to thank you. You did me a favor a few months ago because I was out of town teaching for IU, and it was during that time that the name of your husband was put up in the police headquarters. The mayor had said he was going to do that, and he was good to his word. And if you drive by the new police headquarters, it's George Kale Building is what it is.
Right.
Now. It's the headquarters building. So, and he's. I assume he's enjoying his retirement, but I hear he's staying busy.
Yes, he is enjoying his retirement. However, he did go back to work for the city, and he works for the Public Works Department in the Asset Control Division. So he really enjoys that, and I'm extremely proud of him and what he's accomplished. He was born and raised here, so
he's
done a lot.
If you want a story on how Fishers grew in the old days of Fishers, George, there are only a handful of people that could tell good stories.
Yes.
On that, and George is one of them.
Yes, he is.
Well, let's get to the election here. The town of Fishers, when it was a town, had an elected clerk treasurer.
Correct.
And basically, that tied together the jobs of the clerk and all the financial responsibilities. Well, once Fishers became a second-class city in 2014 as a result of the referendum held in 2012, those jobs have now been separated. The mayor appoints a city controller, which takes care of the financial responsibilities of the city. And you have served as the clerk since Fishers became a city.
That's
in
correct.
2014. So with all that, you've done the job almost 5 years
almost
now.
Almost five,
because there was
yes.
a one-year transition, then you're in your fourth year of your four-year term.
Right.
So question one, why did you decide to run for re-election?
Well, I knew that, I honestly, I was getting too old to physically do what was required of me through the Fishers Freedom Festival. And, I wanted to continue to serve my community. And this was the best way I thought I could do to continue serving my community and not have the physical demands on me that the festival required. Because we did, just two girls in an office, we did a lot of setup and tear down ourselves.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
You and one girl in the office did all that for the Freedom Festival?
Yes.
For those who don't know, and again, a lot of people are new, Freedom Festival went through 2017, went from 1989, is that
right? Yes.
All the way to 2017, and the city now runs the Spark Fishers Festival.
Yes.
You had stepped down as executive director before that happened.
Yes.
But so you were dealing, and you got these big floats, you have all this equipment, the two of you handled all that. I did not know that.
Yeah, we started from scratch, organized, planned, directed Parks and Public Works, obviously, were a huge help, and did a lot of the setup and tear down, but we still had to move tables around and haul things where we needed them to go. And it just, I have a lot of back issues, and it just wasn't suited for me any longer.
I was going to say, at my age, I'm not sure I could have done that. You ladies, I got to tip my hat to both of you. You decided to run for re-election basically because you knew the Freedom Festival responsibilities, you were going to have to cut back on that at that time.
Yes, yes.
A big part of your job is managing city records.
Right.
Now, many of those records, when you started the job, were on paper. I think almost all of them
Was on paper,
okay,
yes.
Everything was on paper when you started. And I do remember talking with you it was probably a few years ago, about the process you were going through of scanning those documents, converting to a database system of storage. Explain how all that went and what happened there.
Right. Well, when I first took office, I had to start from scratch. I had to build procedures on how to handle records that other than what the state required us to do, the best way to prepare agendas, the best way for my staff to pitch in and help, because I'm also the clerk of the court. So I do handle, my staff handles court records, and that's the only financial responsibility that I have as the court financials. But there was lots and lots of paper. So we were fortunate enough to get a couple interns in from the high school. We started scanning the resolutions and the ordinances, the old minute books. I think we were back to almost the very beginning.
Oh, the beginning of the town?
Like 1800 something.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
All the way to the 19th century?
Yes. There were several file cabinets to go through.
Well, let me just ask you this, because I think I'm trying to picture this. So you're telling me you were fortunate enough to get some interns. Did those interns literally take a piece of paper, put it on a scanner, scan, and just take that off and put another one on? That's literally what you had to do.
And they were very creative, because we did have some very huge maps, too, that we need in color and not in black and white. So they would get their iPhones out and take pictures of these maps, and then, we would convert the JPEGs into PDFs and merge everything together. So, who would have thought of that?
I would not have thought of that, Jennifer.
But it worked.
It worked for you.
Yes.
So have you been successful so far? Do you still have some work to go, or has everything been converted now?
It's all done. We finished, I think we finished like in 2016. So we are still, we still have, obviously, paper for where the council has to sign. We have to keep those permanently. Mm-hmm. But we do have them also scanned in. The state will allow us to let them store the items, but they want it on microfiche.
Really?
Yes.
Microfiche?
Yes. Microfiche. So if we would pay them to put it on microfiche, then they'll store our documents. So needless to say, we do have several storage areas between us and the clerk and development that records we have to keep permanently that are paper, but we do have backup records all scanned in.
It's hard to find a fish machine anymore.
Yes. I mean, yes, it is.
My goodness. So this is kind of a stupid question, but again, I'm just thinking in elementary terms here. So let's say you have minutes of a meeting from 1950-something from the town. You go ahead and scan that in. Do you label it in such a way where somebody could go into the database and search for that and could find it?
Yes. What we did, the old records were in a binder. So we could – like a glued binder. So we couldn't take pages out. So we had to actually copy every single page because obviously they were very faded. And then we had to scan them in. So what I did is whatever that book was, because obviously back then there weren't a lot of minutes, it may be, 10 years worth of minutes. But, we save them as whatever those years were. And so they are scanned in for every book we have scanned. We are missing some records in between. Maybe they're in the old storage somewhere. I don't know. But what we had on hand, we scanned.
Another part of your job, and I didn't know this until I dug into it a little bit today, is dealing with public information.
Yes.
Requests. That would be FOIA, which stands for Freedom of Information Act.
Yes.
From media people, pesky media people like me or some other news organization.
Residents,
organizations.
Yes. Developers.
Developers. I mean, but even with internal customers,
yes.
if people want information, they go through your office to get that.
Yes.
Explain a little how you work all that.
Well, we require everything to come in through our website unless they don't have access. If they don't, we have a form that they have to complete. And, they have to include all their information and what items they're actually wanting. They have to be very specific. They have to be, several requests. If there's like a lot of years of documents they want, I think it's like 6 months, broken down as 6 months. And then when they fill all that out on the website, it comes to us. Then we'll disperse it to whatever department, or if it's legal, legal will then say, hey, I'll take care of this one. Mm-hmm. And then the directors send it back to us. We compile everything with the original request, and we send it out to that person or persons. And then we keep record. We merge everything together with the request, and then we upload it into our shared space. So we keep permanent records of requests.
So if I were to make an information request under FOIA as a reporter, do you send me the actual paper? Do you send me a document over the internet? How do you do that?
Well, we can either send it to you electronically. You can come in and pick up a paper version if you prefer. We do charge for that. We charge for CDs and we charge for thumb drives.
I was going to ask. I assume the paper does have a charge. Is it over a certain amount or whatever you want?
It's per page.
So it is per page. Whatever
right.
you decide you want, you pay so many cents per page?
Right. Most everything we do is electronic anymore. Very rarely does someone actually want to come in. It's difficult if somebody comes in and says, I want to see this right now, mm-hmm. because I personally or my office personally may not have that access right now. So, that's why we would have them fill out the paperwork and then we'd let them know when it's available and then they could come in. And then we would have them sign off that, we had met their request.
And does it usually happen fairly quickly? Does it take time? Or
yes.
What's the usual turnaround, or if there is such a thing?
Well, we have to acknowledge the receipt of the request within mm-hmm. 7 days. I give my staff up to 30 days. Obviously, if somebody's wanting a ton of emails about conversations, it may take months because they have to go in and redact, and pull out what isn't relevant, and so forth. So, in 30 days, we at least give them a response saying we're still working on it, or here's your records, what have you. But most of the time, we can get it back in a couple of days.
Oh, okay. And I assume, does it always have to go through legal? I know there are some items that may be subject to whether or not it's available publicly? Do you always have to have a legal look at it, or do you just are you able to make that determination in your
legal
office?
Legal receives the emails, mm-hmm. myself, my staff, and legal gets okay. the emails when they come in and the exact request.
Okay.
And then they'll let us know if they need to step in.
All right. So you work together with them and
right.
they say, okay, we need to talk about this request. There may be some confidential items that may not be
correct.
Able to be
or
released.
It may be something in litigation that they can't release at the time.
Sure. It could be a lot. But those are just a couple of examples.
Yes.
Now, as I understand it also, it's your job as the clerk to maintain city ordinances and the city code. Now, I guess my question there is, I don't think this would happen very often, but there are probably situations where people want to look up city ordinances or the code. Some of it's available online, but if they're having trouble finding it, would they come to your office?
Yes.
How does that work?
Well, they can either call in and then we'll just electronically send it to them. Or if they come in, we can, you know, print them off a copy. But most of the time, it's pretty easy to find on our website. American Legal does all of our codification. And I have to send them all the ordinances and resolutions every month. So, and it takes them, we were doing paper mailing. I can now send it to them electronically. So obviously the paper mailing, they get it. It could take up to 30 days for them to update, you know, the website, depending on how much we have.
Sure. If I wanted to look up part of the code or the city ordinances, do I need a citation or can I say, well, could you give me copies of the noise ordinance or the dog barking ordinance?
Mm-hmm.
If it's a request like that, you can still look it up for them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you don't have to have the citation.
No.
Legally. Okay. I was surprised to see this because I looked up what the duties were, at least the online duties as listed on the city website. It says that one of your stated duties is securing the city seal.
Yes.
I wonder how many citizens even know there is such a thing as a city seal. Explain the city seal and what it does.
Basically, it's like a crimper that says City of Fishers, you know, seal, Indiana, state of Indiana, I think. And then I also have a what is it? I can't even think now. One that I can stamp.
Okay. But what you're really doing is certifying documents are
right.
certified as legal.
Like
part of
bonds
it.
And so forth
sure.
that the mayor signs and I have to sign, then I'll stamp it with our seal. I have made it a practice that for every ordinance and resolution that, you know, we have through the Board of Works or Council, I seal every one of those after the mayor signs them.
That's interesting. I do remember working for a government agency where we had date stamps.
Yeah.
And when I was a manager, I said, you never lose a date stamp. I mean, if you got a date stamp on your desk and you walk away, you take it with you or you secure it. So you literally have to secure the city seal, correct?
Yes.
Make sure nobody could get to it for nefarious purposes
yes.
and so forth. Another one of your duties is taking minutes of meetings. And here's mm-hmm. something I have always found fascinating, and I'd like you to talk about it. Because I've covered city, county governments, school boards going back to the 70s. And when I see minutes, I see them in various forms. I mean, some people who are responsible for that, I think at the county level was the auditor at that time. And you would find very bare, okay, here this motion was made. You know, here was the vote. It was up or down. Some people will take the minutes and they'll like write every comment that's made by anybody. Tell me your view on how minutes should be taken and how you decide you take the minutes and instruct your staff to do that when you're recording what happens at a city meeting.
Well, basically, I take the agenda and that's my template for the minutes. And, you know, obviously I have to record, you know, the motions and the results of those motions. If it's something that, you know, maybe stands out or something they're changing in a current ordinance or something I think is interesting or something I think the public would know, I'll include that in there. For all public hearings, I, you know, have to put who speaks at the public hearings. And I do like to try as much as I can to put what their complaint is or their request is or what they're happy with or suggestions, things like that, that they make during those public hearings. So we have some documentation. But I think legally, basically, all you have to do is yay or nay and who made those motions.
Yeah, how was motioned? Are you required to list the votes, who voted yes or no?
No, that's only in a roll call vote.
Okay.
And then I always repeat exactly what that resolution was in my minutes when they go to make their motions. And that's what I like my staff to do when they do that. So,
well, I have trouble. As a reporter, when they have these public hearings, sometimes people get up and say their name so quickly, I can't write it down or I don't know how to spell it.
Yeah.
Do you have that problem too?
I do. And luckily, most of the meetings are recorded. So I'll sit through and go, you know, and listen to the meeting to catch some of the names. And then I can look on the sign-in sheet and see if they signed in. And if they didn't, I just kind of wing it.
Do the best you can and hope you get it right.
Right.
You already mentioned this, but part of the city clerk's duties is dealing with the city court.
Right.
And you did say that that's one of the few, I think the only aspect of the job where you do have to handle money because people are paying fines, right?
Right. Fines and ordinance violations.
Mm-hmm. So they're paying the court and you're dealing with making sure they pay what they're required to pay.
Mm-hmm.
Do they pay right there at the court or some have to, do they pay it later or how does that work?
That's up to the judge. Mm-hmm. I have one staff member who serves as a recorder for the judge. She works closely with the judge. So he may give them a week to pay. He may tell them they need to pay today, or he may give them a month to pay. Some people come pay before court, so they don't have to go to court. Mm-hmm. So it just depends. They can pay at the window, and they have to pay by cash or money order. When we move over to the new CSB building, mm-hmm. Then we're going to have kiosks out there so they can actually pay by credit card.
Let me say something about that. Because the city court has been in the main city hall building for a very long time. In fact, as things got crowded, I think they always had Fridays was always the day. I'm trying to remember. Was it one or 2 days a week?
Right, Fridays and sometimes on Wednesdays.
Sometimes on Wednesdays. So what would happen is there would simply be a rearrangement of the council chambers, the auditorium they call it, and you would have court there where the city council meets.
Right.
But that's changing. The court is now moving to what used to be the police headquarters. Now it's called the CSB building. And that has not happened as we speak, correct, Fulton?
Right. My office and my staff from the clerk is already over there. Mm-hmm. Next week, we're going to move the court staff and the judge. So next Friday, we'll have our first court. Unless something horrible happens, that's the game plan.
Okay, so it'll be very shortly after we speak. And probably when some of these people will be listening to the podcast, it may have already happened by that time.
Right.
All right, very good. So your support for that operation is handling the money and doing the recording of what happens. Am I understanding
that
correctly?
Right, as well as my staff also suspends licenses. They are in charge of collections. If, you know, we have collections still from back in 2012 where people haven't paid.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, what do you do when that happens?
Well, we send them to collections and hope they pay. Also, we get tax intercepts from the state. They prepare the initial hearings. They do deferral paperwork. So there's a lot of paperwork involved. And then we also work with legal.
So your job as the elected city clerk is just to ensure that you hire the right people to get the job done and oversee the work that they do, whether it's city court or whether it's dealing with the records of the city. So is there anything else I haven't asked you'd like to add about the job you do as city clerk?
Well, it is a full-time job, mm-hmm. obviously, to manage the staff. You know, I really enjoy what I do because it's something different every day. You know, we also record documents through the Hamilton County. That's another aspect of the job. You know, sometimes we need to record easements or warranty deeds or our ordinances. Gosh, I'm trying to think of what else. you know, and obviously the minutes, we prepare the agendas, and responsible for all that. So,
and that's something I keep an eye on as a reporter,
right,
knowing when meetings are going to be held where. Like, we just had a city council meeting. It was not in the council chambers. It was at Launch Fisher. So
right,
I had to keep an eye on the agenda so I knew where to show up to cover the meeting. Let me just ask you to take a minute or two or whatever, just one last chance for you to explain or just talk to the voters about why people voting in this Republican primary election coming up on May 7th should vote for Jennifer Kale to another 4-year term as the Fisher City Clerk.
Well, like I said before, I believe for your city to be successful, you need to invest yourself into the community. And I've done that for over 30 years with volunteering and different areas. You know, I'm definitely community focused. I've got the experience because I had to set this up. And I'm dedicated. You know, I enjoy what I do. I work well with my staff. And, you know, the Kales have been around a long time, and we're all public servants. George's brother, older brother, is retired from the sheriff's department, and so is his wife. And then his younger brother's a fireman, retired from Carmel. So, and then his wife was on Delaware Township Board for 20 years. So we all believe in supporting our community, and I'm very family-oriented.
You'd be hard-pressed to find a family that's that involved in law enforcement,
yes,
and just government and public service in general. I have to ask you one last question. Just curious how you felt in July of 2018. It was the first year that you had not been involved in the summer festival. What were your thoughts and feelings at that time?
Well, it was sad, you know, for the festival to go away after all those years. But, you know, we were floating around in the pool. This is the first year I'd been able to really enjoy my summer in, you know, almost 30 years. So, you know, it was nice, you know, to spend time with my family. And a lot of the festival people came over and we just hung out and enjoyed not having to work.
And those grandkids appreciated having,
yes,
your grandmother around, I'm,
yes,
sure.
Yes. I get to spend a lot more time with my granddaughter. So, you know, she's real special to me.
Good for you. I'll be a grandfather someday soon. But, looking forward to whenever that happens, whenever my daughters are ready. You know, they're both married, but, you know, whenever the right time happens, I'm ready.
Well,
and
Go ahead, please. Well, mine are getting older. Our grandson's 16, and then our granddaughter's going to be 11. And
oh, my gosh.
She just, you know, she's so cute because she's like, Grandma, I'm not 5 anymore. I don't snuggle. I'm like, no.
It's hard to accept these things.
It is.
Jennifer Kale, you're running for re-election as the Fisher City Clerk. Thank you so much for spending some time with me.
Thank you for having me.
My thanks to Jennifer Kale for joining me on the podcast. Don't forget to vote in this year's primary election. Election Day is Tuesday, May the 7th. This is the Larry in Fishers podcast. My name is Larry Lanin. I write the LarryInFishers.com local news blog from Fishers, Indiana, a suburban community northeast of Indianapolis. Thanks for listening. We'll talk again.